mean, here, home, here, home, everywhere else. It's been really very strange kind of a time. I gotta write something down so I don't forget it. What did I tell you? Busyness. Have you all ever been busy? You ever been bored? Which is better?
Busy.
Busy is almost always better than bored.
I still don't know what you said. I'm sorry.
I said, have you ever been busy in your life? You ever been bored? Which is better? Busy. Can you all hear?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Anybody ever watch Star Trek years ago, the original series?
Oh, yeah.
There was an episode. I'm a Trekkie from way back. It's an episode where they just, Kirk and Spock, but McCoy might be with them, are down on this planet. And they're dealing with a rogue Starfleet officer who's helping one side in the war against another. And the guys he's helping are all big, tall, white guys. Like a bunch of Norwegians. And he's fighting a bunch of little yellow guys. White guys are called gangs, and little guys are called comms. They've been fighting each other for years, hundreds of years. And apparently one thought they had a high civilization, but everything's kind of crumbled, and they're very, very primitive. And the Klingons come in. Y'all know Klingons, right? They're kind of like the Philistines of Star Trek. Klingons come in, and they start helping the comms. Start giving them muzzle loading rifles, but not rifles, guns. They were planning on giving them rifles. Well, anyway, it goes on. And eventually Kirk is thrown into a jail along with the leader of the Yankees. And he's trying to convince this guy to help. He says, don't you want your freedom? And the guy wasn't paying any attention. He says, freedom? He was not saying freedom is a Yang worship word. Very long intro to a very simple statement. Is there something other than God to worship? Isn't it freedom? Well, as the episode goes on, it turns out that this war they've been waging goes back about 800 years. And the Yangs and the Koms turn out to be abbreviation for Yankees and Communists. But at one point in time, they're at a trial. They were putting Spock on trial for being the devil. You remember what Spock looked like, right? Real severe haircut and ears, whole nine yards. They pulled out an old Bible. And that flipped pages, there was a picture of the devil, a pitchfork, the whole nine yards. So, and he has no heart. Then when I'm listening, Spock has no heart. So they knew he was the devil. So they tried to kill him. But at one point, this guy comes walking in with a tattered, ripped up, American flag. The whole point of this was that you had two different planets, 800, 900 years apart in technology, that had evolved their cultures more or less identically. But it destroyed their planet. Something that we avoided in the 60s. Freedom. I can see that getting upset. I mean, y'all understand that concept, freedom? And why people fight for freedom. Some people fight for money, you know, mercenaries, they fight for money. Okay, Emerson, Lake, and Palmer, you know them? They had a song called Lucky Man. Ooh, what a lucky man he was. He fought for his king. There's a refrain over that song, so. King, they're English, so King is essentially, did you know that King Charles actually owns England? When they play God Save the Queen, King, which is their essentially national, he stays seated down, everybody else stands up. Because he is the sovereign, he literally owns everything. That doesn't count anymore, but that's the way it works. And I was thinking about that. Do they have a 4th of July in England?
Yep.
Yeah, sure.
Yep.
Why would they celebrate a war they lost?
The 4th of July is the 4th of July.
But they don't have Independence Day. In fact, there are nine generations, I don't know how many greats it would be, there are nine generations removed from George III, crazy guy, who ruled England from 1760 to 1820. And this crazy guy fought at least two wars with the United States. What did he call it? One thing he called it was the Presbyterian War. The other thing he called it, I don't have my robot today. The other thing he called it was the Protestant Revolution. Because in New England, there was a great support against the king. They had the Starbucks coffee tea party, right? Remember that, where they threw all the tea overboard? They didn't like the king there very much. And he thought lost two wars against the U.S. in the last 249 years. You know what next year is?
250.
Okay. Should I ask you to pronounce it? We learned when we were in D.C. back in May what this is called. Anybody know what the 250th anniversary is called?
250th anniversary?
No.
Yes, it is.
Well, yeah, okay, fine. For ignorant, unintelligent, wannabe stupid people, sure. But we learned what it really is called, and we both have trouble pronouncing it. Because I got to keep letters in order, and so I want to ask Andrew to say it. Next year is the semi-sesquicentennial. I got it right. That means 250 years, yes. Because the quincentennial is 250. But it was all over, you know, the proper for next year. It was all over D.C. It was incredible. But in 250 years, the Brits fought two wars against us and lost. And you know what? They are our most powerful and popular and best allies we have in the world. You know what Winston Churchill called us, Americans? He called us a people separated from us by a common language. Mm-hmm. You know the thing about Churchill, it tells you a lot. Freedoms over there are a little bit different than they are here. If you are an Anglican or an Episcopalian or a Methodist, you have more freedoms than us lowly Lutherans. Alliteration, lowly Lutherans. Because we're not part of the state religion. You know, the king is head of the Anglican Communion, right? Do you know that? He is the chief of state. He's like the Pope for 160 million people, I think. Because the Anglicans in England, there's the Anglicans here, the Episcopals here, all the ones in Africa. When he became king, he took a vow to be the defender of the faith. I have a hard time picturing that. To keep it free. Our right, our liberties, our privileges are different. And people are confusing all the time rights and privileges. You know where that comes from? It comes from God. There's a piece of paper somewhere that says, we all have inalienable rights, life, liberty, pursuit of happiness. Who gave those to us? Joe Biden. Barack Obama, George. No, God gave those to us. Which is why that document uses those words, pointing out that God is in charge. God is in charge. It says so right here. All these readings. I mean, it's just there. God is in charge with all the help, the stuff that he's given to us. And then, in our wonderful country, guess what we have? We have woke movement. The woke movement, where everybody all of a sudden can do anything. On the other extreme, you got people like the KKK. And they're yammering about Christian nationalism. Our son just flipped denominations. back in May. He's now a member of the Presbyterian Church in America. They just had their General Assembly. They posted a letter that basically said, we don't think that anybody should be treated differently because they're black, white, yellow, brown, whatever. And I thought to myself, does the church really need to say that? We need to say that as people. The church by itself doesn't need to say that, because as Paul tells the Galatians, Christ set us free. Us, all of us. That was the royal us, if there is such a thing. You read the book of Galatians. It's a great book. It's probably my favorite book outside of the Gospels and the New Testament. It's like a condensed form of Romans. You might really like it, because it's a lot clearer than Romans. It talks about law and justice and how we live, but it's a great book. But Paul keeps coming back that we are no longer slaves. Okay, fine. Pat, you're my cook. I've owned you for 45 years. Get in there and make your breakfast.
I doubt it.
Hey, if we were back then, and I was a Roman, and you'd been my slave for 45 years, as I do it, guess what? You'd have did it. Or you'd have dead it. But when Paul said Christ has made us free, he didn't mean all of a sudden you get a manumission paper. It's free inside. Your souls have been set free. I'm happy that when your souls are set free, they don't leave your body and go bye-bye. And we still have them. The Christian nationalists, on the other end, well, they say nobody but white people are any good. Black people aren't even people. Brown people are kind of monkeys. I don't know where it is, but it's like the yellow and red people. They're probably monkeys too. Our Congress, and also our son's denomination, just formed a committee to look into Christian nationalism, see if it's bad. You know anything about Christian nationalism? You should a little bit, and you should know enough. It's bad. It's not freedom. They claim the almost libertarians. God is not a libertarian. It does not set you free to do whatever you want to. Paul warns us here that when you are made free by Christ, it doesn't mean you're made free to sin. It's a great heresy. It's really popular today. I mean, Bev says, well, I'm going to go out and rob me a liquor store. Bev. Okay, we'll have Bev do it, so don't pick out Doc. Bev, sitting next to her over there, goes, I don't know why I do that. Bev goes out to rob a liquor store, knowing that after she's done and she's driving away, she goes, oh, Jesus, forgive me, please. And her sins will be forgiven. And, you know, people operate that way. Maybe not to that extent, but people operate that way. I mentioned this before. Can't do that. Our country here is founded on what Paul has written. Not exactly, but the spirit of it. Is the United States a Christian nation? And look, I told you I'm kind of wonky today, but that doesn't mean they all have to go with bye-bye.
In God we trust.
In God we trust, but are we a Christian nation? Because that could be Allah. That could be Rama. You know, it doesn't say in Yahweh we trust, which means it's Jewish or Christian.
Define what you mean by a Christian nation. Not everybody is Christian.
No. Put it this way, we're not a Christian nation. A Christian nation would be set up more or less as a theocracy, where if we're going to have democracy, you had to be some kind of a high clerical person, ordained person, in order to be elected to Congress. You know, you'd have that kind of a sticking in there. You would have every law, basically, that the New Testament says that Jesus runs by. Actually, you only need two. Serve God, love each other. That's the 11th, 12th commandment. But people are people, that wouldn't work. So all the laws would have to be in the Christian ideal. Now, it's true that the theory behind our government is based on Jewish Christian values and understandings. The plan is based on the way Presbyterians are set up, which is a Scottish clan system. But it's not a Christian nation. It's always been a nation full of Christians. You're right. If it was a Christian nation, you'd probably need to to be part of a church in order to vote. I mean, if I was going to make a Christian nation, I'd say you have to be a Christian in order to vote. You know, or to be in the army, whatever. But we have no government that works that way. God has blessed us, actually, but the government doesn't work that way. If you read in Scripture, what Israel went through, when it was being run by a theocracy, by the kings, oh, it was horrible. But we have no government that has a power capable of dealing with human passion. They're trying now to make all these laws, but our Constitution was made only to have moral and religious people living under it. That's a bastardized quote. You know what, who said that? Come on, somebody take a shot.
Who said what?
Who said our Constitution was made only for immoral and religious people? It is wholly inadequate to any kind of government for other people.
Jefferson.
Close. Oh, sorry. Franklin said that. Even Benjamin Franklin, who was not a Christian, but he was a moral guy, at least by his standards. Yeah, you know Benjamin Franklin. Recognized that. They believed, the founders did, that government was here to support us, but not to dictate what goes on. One more thing I want to say is that the founders believed that the laws of nature and of nature's God, and by the way, if you use the expression nature's God, it's appropriate and it's okay as long as you don't put nature's God as Gaia or something, you know, Mother Earth, because nature has a God. Doesn't it say in Scripture, everything will praise God? The whole creation rejoices? So, all natural rights and duties derived from nature and nature's God in accord with our Christian beliefs. But, there's a warning at the end of that. I don't make this up. It's called the consensus elite. People don't like Christians. Particularly, they don't like God people at all. Because guess what? We follow rules that aren't out there necessarily the same way. Christianity is particularly dangerous to a lot of people. You shouldn't talk about it. You shouldn't subsidize it by the government. I hear that. But the government should talk about it. And you know what? We are supposed to practice. It's one of your freedoms, people. It's one of your privileges. One of your commands. Live life as God intended. Be a show off. Be out there, out and about. But this is the word of the Lord with some kind of commentary for me. Thanks be to God.